Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, the more I thought about this gospel in the course of the past week, I was on retreat down at Mundelein with the bishops of Region 7, Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin, but I kept thinking about this gathering and this gospel and the Word of God for us. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that we spend a lot of time in life looking for good seats. Little kids want to be sure as they go back to school that they, you know, don't get too close to the front of the room, to the teacher's desk, so they're under constant observation. They want to avoid that if at all possible. That's not a good place. When we come into the kitchen, we look for a place at a meal so that it's reasonably close to the food. We look for a comfortable chair when we want to watch television. There's a temptation for all of us. My father was a primary example. He always wanted the last pew in church so that he could get out quickly and get to the parking lot before the crowd came. We look for the best seat in the movie theater. We don't want to be too close to the screen. We do check out the best table in the restaurant, close to a window, at least that's where I like to sit, but not too close to the kitchen. There are just a lot of things that come to mind that we spend, as a matter of fact, time looking for the right seat. Wise and successful people know how to pick the right seat. We can tell a lot about a person by noticing where they sit. The Gospel of Luke was written for folks who we might call middle class. They were educated. They were somewhat affluent, as a matter of fact, beyond the basic invitation to believe in Christ and his resurrection, to be a partner of the work of God's kingdom. The Gospel of Luke spends a lot of time talking about generosity to the poor and condemning greedy people. It clearly is a gospel that's aimed at folks who have a certain amount of resources. Moreover, Luke likes to talk often about doing lunch together. I say that because there are at least 9 times in the Gospel of Luke where it's a dinner event. There's the event when Matthew is invited and becomes a convert, the tax collector. He immediately throws a party and Jesus is there, people complaining about him eating with tax collectors. At 3 times in the Gospel of Luke, Pharisees invite Jesus to dinner. Martha is busy in the courtyard cooking, and she complains about the fact she doesn't get any help, but Jesus is a guest for a meal. And then there are the multiplication of the loaves, twice in Mark's gospel and once in Luke, about Jesus trying to feed huge numbers of people with minimal resources. And then there's the Last Supper. And if that isn't enough, those 7 times in Luke's gospel, he makes a point of adding at the end that Jesus sits down with the people going to Emmaus, sits down with them, and they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And finally, he goes right back to the upper room and says, "It's really me." And when they have some doubt about it, he says, "Will you have anything to eat? I can prove it's really me." Luke's gospel talks about meals a lot. A good friend, teacher at Marquette University, Pat makes a point in his raising a family that he wanted his kids to be present for supper every single night. They were teenagers, and one of them said, "Dad, this is really embarrassing. I asked all my friends, and none of them eat with their family. None of them. Why do we have to eat?" He said, "I don't care what your friends do. We eat together, and we talk about the day, and we complain about things, And we share bread, and somehow in the process we become more of a family. In today's gospel, it was a wedding dinner that Jesus talked about. And Jesus was watching. They were watching him, we were told, but he was watching them too. And he was noting the way in which the guests were looking for good seats. In a wedding banquet, you have to be very careful that you don't automatically go to the head table, because you can be tossed out on your ear very quickly if you don't belong at the head table at a wedding banquet. But he was noting that guests were looking for the head table seats. And he also noticed the way in which the host made a point of making sure that those whom he visited, invited, would pay back. Luke was a Pharisee, talked about Jesus as a Pharisee. And like all Pharisees, Jesus knew that meals sitting down together with friends were really holy things. The Pharisees made a point of saying that, yes, there is a temple, and that is important, but family life and meals together is also very important and very holy. And so it's not by accident that we continue to celebrate his Last Supper, week after week after week. Because the meal, ritualized, is very holy. It's not by accident that at that final meal, Jesus took his whole life under the appearance of bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it away. It's not by accident that we hear stories of multiplication of loaves. It's not by accident that we continue to support meal programs as Catholic Christians. St. Ben's up the road, Vincent de Paul meal programs here at the cathedral, Open Door Cafe. It's not by accident that we feed the poor. It's not by accident that we venerate, if I can say it this way, leftovers. That we recognize that Jesus is present in a remarkable and sacramental way in the leftovers. And that we venerate those leftovers as Jesus in our midst. It's not by accident that we Catholics kind of talk about the requirements for coming to this meal, this sacred meal. And not by accident that we Catholics have said, well, you know, you don't have to be Catholic to come forward. In fact, the 1993 Directory for Ecumenical and Interreligious Relations makes a point of saying that if an individual non-Catholic feels a great hunger for communion and is not able to attend in his own or her own community, and believes as we do, and doesn't have a deep sense of personal, serious sin, that individual may come forward. We have this sense of a meal that is open to more than just ourselves as Catholics. Parish celebrates when we gather for a sacred meal. Finally, I remember one time I was invited to be part of an anniversary celebration at a parish, a local parish in the city. And it was also the occasion for blessing a renovated church interior that was really quite lovely. And we were standing in the back of church waiting for the procession to begin. And the pastor came, who was a very proper individual, wonderful pastor, wanted to do things right. And he came up to this group of people, and as a matter of fact, there were some Knights of Columbus there. And he said to the Knights of Columbus, he said, we had a practice, and everybody who was going to be part of this was supposed to come, and you didn't come. You did not come to the practice, he said. "You are not welcome." At which point the musician said, "Let's have the opening hymn, All Are Welcome." At which point he threw up his hands, grinned, and said, let's begin to pray. God welcomes everyone who seeks and needs nourishment. The nourishment that only God can give. And that's good news for us, because it even includes us.